Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
Hello. NBA superstar Kyrie Irving can put a price on his decision to forego the COVID vaccine, and it is north of nine figures. The Brooklyn Nets guard says he gave up a $100 million four-year contract extension all because he refused to get the vaccine when the NBA and the city where he plays were putting enormous pressure on players to take the jabs. Quote, I gave up 4 years, a hundred and something million, deciding to be unvaccinated, and that was the decision, Irving said during Nets media day on Monday. You either get this contract, get vaccinated, or be unvaccinated, and there's a level of uncertainty of your future, whether you're going to be in this league, whether you're going to be on this team. So I had to deal with that real-life circumstance of losing my job for this decision. Irving was only able to play road games until late in the season because of New York City's vaccine mandate. He wound up playing for his option year salary, but had to forego home game paychecks while he sat on the bench. The 30-year-old star said he had hoped to reach a deal with the team, but instead went into the season at loggerheads with Nets management. Quote, we were supposed to have all that figured out before training camp last year, Irving said, and it just didn't happen because of the status of me being vaccinated, unvaccinated, so I understood their point, and I just had to live with it. It was a tough pill to swallow, honestly. Irving played in 29 of the team's 82 games, averaging a stellar 27.4 points per game. The team posted a 44-38 record and made the playoffs, but were swept by the old Celtics in the first round. Nets GM Sean Marks denied that the team put undue pressure on Irving. Quote, there's no ultimatum being given here, Marks said. Again, it goes back to you want people who are reliable, people who are here and accountable, all of us, staff, players, coaches, you name it. It's not giving somebody an ultimatum to get a vaccine. That's a completely personal choice. I stand by Kyrie. I think if he wants, he's made that choice. That's his prerogative completely. Well, I picked this article today because it just reminded me that so many lost so much, like a great burning. If they can weather it, they can rebuild. And for many of us, that rebuild is from the ground up, a reset, a restart. But in the aftermath of all that loss, the verdict is in. People won't be clamoring for the fall booster, and Big Pharma won't get mass compliance on the level they did at the height of peak COVID fear ever again. An NBC headline from today reads, NY Supreme Court rules vaccine mandate invalid for NYPD union members. That's great. Then it goes on to say, city to appeal. And to me, this headline encapsulates the entire period we are in perfectly. The Supreme Court rules vaccine mandate invalid, yes. And yet, the city is to appeal. The old yin and yang, this strange tug of war between the facts coming in and speaking loudly that this vaccine amounts to a failed experiment, and yet the city to appeal, letting go of mandates anyway. Talk about cognitive dissonance. People just can't let go. Too many identities built on masks and syringes like strange stick figure men of the apocalypse. The cognitive dissonance is on a level that's hard to fathom. The mixed messaging scrambles the brains like eggs in an army mess hall. Kyrie Irving lost a lot of money and perhaps some opportunities, but in his case, he was far from losing it all. So many did. So many lost so much with nothing to fall back on, and if they survived at all, they live for a future still that is uncertain. In Kyrie's case, it seems the gains outweigh the losses. He gained the respect of the world, at least those who are awake and haven't lost their ability to think critically. He gained the respect of those who are paying attention. He gained his voice, which he didn't have to bury in an agenda he had no belief in. And as many doors that must have closed in his personal life, how many new ones have opened? And how many of those new doors are from people who won't just abandon him at the first sign of fear? Doors of people who are loyal and worthy of his investment of time and energy. The death and rebirth of Kyrie Irving. COVID has been an explosion of insanity across every spectrum of life, but it has also been enormously clarifying. There's more to life than money and immediate opportunities. There is the question of your spirit and soul as well, and these opportunities to display actual courage, which don't come along every day. Now we are in the transition of the narrative falling apart. The mixed messages are certainly still ravaging minds, but in the future, those that stood against the tyranny of fear will be remembered as heroes for it. And Kyrie Irving will echo in those rooms forever. You can email me, josepharthur@tntradio.live. Please do. And if you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We are also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, Heart, and TuneIn. Now there is no reason at all to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
News and talk you can count on.
I can rely on that.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Dr. Wallace J. Nichols is here to give us the blue mind. I've had the gray mind and the red mind today, but hopefully he's going to rewire it into a blue mind. What is the blue mind, you might ask? It has to do with water. Dr. Wallace J. Nichols has been called a water warrior, one who commits to helping others access their blue mind state. Yes, please, sir. His visionary ideas related to ocean and aquatic ecosystems, migratory species, marine protected areas, fisheries management, and plastic pollution inspire others to find a deeper connection with nature and embrace inventive approaches to issues ranging from protection of ocean life to global water supply to the mental health benefits of a life spent on or near the water. And it's a poignant time with the Nord Stream pipeline breaking down and all this sort of water aggression clamoring around us, the hurricane in Florida. But we're here to talk about the peaceful aspects about water too. So maybe it's a whole mix. What do you think, Dr. Wallace J. Nichols? Thanks for coming on the show. How you doing tonight?
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. And yeah, you're right. It is a mix, isn't it? Huge mix.
Yeah. It's the water is in the headlines as we speak. So it's good to have you on. I mean, this pipeline thing, I was just checking it out, this Nord Stream pipeline and apparently all kinds of fuel rushing into the ocean, a mm-hmm. catastrophe and one, maybe an act of war, terrorism perhaps. So that seems to amp up the situation over there in Russia and Ukraine. And then you have people freaking out in Florida with a hurricane on the way. So that's a different form of water than the way I've been listening to some of your interviews. And normally it's more the peaceful aspects of water, but there's this whole other side to water too, isn't it?
Well, water can also offer a heavy dose of red mind, which is kind of what you're describing there, when you don't want it where it shows up, or if you're mistreating it and undervaluing it and destroying it, as we see with oil and gas spills.
Right.
So what we're talking about with blue mind is the more relaxing type, obviously the more meditative and calming, recentering use of water. That what we really saw during this pandemic is people reconnected with that in a big way and fought for access to their beaches and their rivers and their lakes when they weren't supposed to be outside, because it's the best medicine that was going around, that kind of started trending a bit. And people would even go out and stand in their yards and under a garden hose because they couldn't surf. So you saw people really starting to understand the value of time in or near the water when they were feeling the most stressed out. So I'm fortunate to have had it nearby myself.
Where did your passion for this come from, and where do you think you discovered this sort of this viewpoint of how important a relationship with water is?
At a young age, I stuttered badly. I was adopted, so I was a little bit had big questions, I guess you could say, and not a strong voice, and I felt great underwater. Where people couldn't ask you questions and you didn't have to speak out loud. You just have your thoughts. when you stutter, you make the person you're conversing with very uncomfortable. And then that, if you have any empathy, that makes you uncomfortable and it makes the matter worse. So it's just having a conversation is not always that much fun. So I was drawn to the water just as an escape from words, spoken words or noise. And I think probably pursued a career studying sea turtles as a result, and wanted to be a marine biologist. And then a little later on, kind of revisited that, the beginning, and thought, what is that? What is that thing that feels so good, that draws so many of us to the edge of the water or under the water? And I went looking for a book about it. Found a bunch of books about your brain on music, really good stuff. A guy named Oliver Sacks wrote Musicophilia, wonderful book. Could not find a similar book where you would just take the word music out and substitute in the word water, which is a little bit surprising considering we are water beings on a water-based planet. And right. The brain is the most complex thing we know so far in the universe. So tried to get somebody else to write the book that I wanted to read, namely Dr. Oliver Sacks. And
You appealed to him?
I did. I had it all set up. I had a good pitch. It was really solid.
That's funny, dude.
And he said, that's a fine idea. You do it.
Right.
Either that was smart, just a man. huge diss or he thought I should do it. I don't think so.
He's a smart guy. He probably recognized that you had a passion for this and that this was really your dream, and that there was something of the stuttering kid still asking him to do it instead of just believing in yourself to be able to do it. And he kind of gave you the boost.
I came back 5 years later and handed him a hardcover copy of the book fresh off the press. And he lived another year after that.
Brilliant.
But so he himself is a water man. I mean, water lover, music lover, and outsized intellect and pioneer in so many ways, and a scientist of the mind and the brain. So I really wanted to read his version of the book, but fortunately he's left behind a lot of words, and many of them are referring to water and his creativity while in the water swimming was where he got his best ideas. And the man was a great idea factory. So a guy like that says, I got my best ideas in the water. You might want to pay attention to what's going on there. And pretty amazing guy. That's how it happened.
So amazing. that's great. What a story. By the way, that's very beautiful. I'm just making me think about across my life and my relationship with water. I was a New Yorker for 25 years, so always near the water, and then recently moved to Arizona. But since I've been in Arizona, I joined a cold plunge place for a while. I need to rejoin another one. My monthly membership ran out. But so that was an extension of that water sort of thing. But the main water relationship I have right now is with my one-year-old daughter, and there's a water park nearby. And so that's always our destination. We always go there, and I'm introducing her to the water through this, and watching her react and respond to water is really interesting. You know,
absolutely.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just reminding me of my youngest daughter, Julia, who's now 17. When she was first learning to write, you know, they give kids a prompt on a piece of paper, and the upper half of the paper is for the drawing. And then there's a little word prompt and they write their first few words and they bring it home. And she, the prompt was, my favorite thing to do is ... And she wrote, swim with my dad, and drew a picture of us. And
that's beautiful.
It's true. And I immediately thought, my favorite thing to do was swim with my dad. And I hope his favorite thing was swimming with his dad. And or mom or aunt or uncle or grandma or grandpa, but, you know, growing up, the gift of loving water and loving music is like the best you can do as a parent. You know, you can pass that on in a deep way.
Yeah.
Your kid will be rich forever. I guarantee it. We're doing that.
Yeah. I'm a musician. So yeah, my daughter's definitely, you know, surrounded by music all the time. And she's obviously displaying signs of musicality. The water question though, this is like, I don't know, for some reason you can love water and you can know of its importance, but you can, it's one of these things that's easy to take for granted. And you seem to be creating this space for people to remember that this maybe is sort of somehow like humanity's spiritual essence externalized on some level, and obviously internalized too. And it reminds me of that book too, the Hidden Message in Water, where if you write a word love on a water, you must have known of this book, and then then it displays crystals that are like really symmetrical. But if you write words on it that are negative, like I hate you or something, it'll like be, there'll be no symmetry to its pattern. So water in and of itself is enormously sensitive, I suppose.
Well, my take on that whole conversation is that if you flip it, so if you go spend time near water and you say, I love my water, and you express that and demonstrate it, that's going to change your heart. That is going to change your chemistry. That is going to change your trajectory. That's going to change your mood. And so that's what Blue Mind is all about, is like really understanding. It's so obvious and so intuitive and yet so evasive and easy to forget. But it's all, even in Arizona, if you wanted to make a list of a really awesome daily water activity, you could. And it would,
Salt
you
River.
Would go to the river. You can go to Tempe, I don't know where you are exactly, at Tempe Town Lake. You can go to some of the great pools. You can join a daddy-daughter swim club. You can do the cold plunges, the water slides, the surf wave they're building in Phoenix, the aquarium, if you're into that, the float tanks, the float spas. If you haven't done that, sign yourself up.
Haven't.
And just keep busy, you know, staying connected to the water. Then go up to the mountains, check out the rivers and the lakes. And that's Arizona. You know, so drop a pin anywhere and we'll have the same conversation. Not to mention your bathtub. Your bathtub is an ocean to your daughter right now.
That's true.
You know, if you have access to a neighborhood pool or a hot tub, and even the monsoons when it rains there, it's glorious. So go out into it safely, obviously, but don't run away from the rain. Always run to it and enjoy it. You know, and sing.
All right. Well, let me go to a break, and then we're gonna go. We're gonna do a deep dive. I couldn't resist on the Blue Mind right after these words with Dr. Wallace J. Nichols. You're listening to TNT Radio.
You should hear what Omira and Borgeson are talking about.
We're going to talk about President Biden's recent executive order titled "Comprehensive Framework for Responsible Development of Digital Assets." To me, that's just a word salad for how best to track your money. Right now, interest rates are rising, the cost of food and rent is skyrocketing, and people are struggling to make ends meet. How will going digital make a difference in your life? And one can't help ask, who benefits? Every day, we see how commercial finance is changing. Phones swiped over keypads for purchases. No need for cash, credit, or debit. Microchips are inserted into hands to allow access to home and work. More importantly, make no mistake, anything digital can be tracked. Every move you make can be tracked. Think about the animal microchips. It's no different with humans. What if you don't want to get chipped and digitized? Will you become a societal pariah? No? Think again. Remember what happened to anyone who refused the COVID jab. They were a danger to society.
Omira and Borgeson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Affordable housing, we can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
It's never a burden to fight for truth. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Dr. Wallace J. Nichols. I believe you go by J. Nichols, though. Is that right?
That's just by my middle initial. Guess what that J stands for, Joseph?
Just super Joseph. Inspiring, dude. Oh, really? I should have. Yeah.
So I'll go by Jay, you go by Joseph. And then if you want to switch, that's fine too. We can do that another time.
That's so funny, man. I was early on in my music career, I got signed by Peter Gabriel's label. And Peter told me that, because my name is Joseph Arthur, right? And that's my real name. And in Cockney rhyming slang, J. Arthur is J. Arthur Rank. Go have a wank. It stands for, you get it.
Yeah.
And he said, you should change your name. You should just go by J. Arthur. So lean into it, because they're gonna hammer you with Cockney rhyming slang. They're going to make fun of you. And they never did. And I stuck with Joseph. Maybe I should have gone with J. Things would have turned out differently. But listen, you asked the question, what is your water? And when I was listening to it with my lady, and we were both going like, yeah, what is your water? And we both viewed it abstractly. We were like music, or like, you know, love, or like, you know, we were looking at it like that. And you say that you can look at it like that. But where did that question come from? What is your water? And what's the importance of that question?
You know, I for years and years and years of, I'm always asked, what are the three things we can do to save the planet, or what are the priorities? And I always notice, whatever you say, people just forget. And if they remember, they don't do it. And so turning the conversation to a question, and making it personal. So if we're having a conversation with a big group about Blue Mind, usually I'll just start off and say, hey, so what's your water? You know, however you interpret that question, turn to the person next to you and talk about it. Just tell them a mini water story. And it's the room always explodes, because everybody's got something to say about, you know, once they kind of understand the question. And so it's just a really great way to get people to understand this concept of Blue Mind, is to start with your water, the water that lights you up, whether it's metaphorical or literal, you know, wild water or domestic water. Once you start telling me the story about that water that makes you feel alive and whole, maybe the water that you play in with your daughter, your brain chemistry starts to change right there, because you're experiencing an imaginary water in your mind's eye, and you can almost hear it and taste it. It gets pretty emotional, you know, when you go there. So if you're sitting next to somebody and you want to strike up an instantly interesting conversation, that's a good question to come out the gate with. And it always leads to just fascinating information about people. So that's why I like to not tell people what to do. Rather ask them an interesting set of questions and kind of let it flow from there. And by the way, the puns are unavoidable. So we're just going to have to.
They're just all over the place in this conversation. Yeah. The Blue Mind, in our day now, I mean, we have been under a relentless fear campaign. It's 24/7, you know, even today, like I brought up the pipeline stuff and obviously potential nuclear fallout. We've endured years of this COVID scare into monkeypox, into polio in New York, and just like endless fear of disease and death and war and food shortages in the economy. And these are, you know, a lot of these things are actually legitimate. They are real concerns. People need to access, I imagine, the blue mind more than ever. Is that another way of saying like Godhead, or go deeper into what actually is the blue mind?
Yeah. So, you know, when you step up to water, whether it's imaginary water, virtual water, or wild domestic urban water, you begin to shift. Your mind begins to shift. You move into this mildly meditative state that brings your heart rate down. Your breathing rate slows. People tend to reach for the hand of the people they're with. We have deeper, more open conversations. When we hold our rituals by water, they take on a new vibe. And so that the water does shift our neurochemistry, and there's really deep evolutionary explanations to why. So that's blue mind. When we're in red mind mode, which is incredibly useful, that's the fight or flight response. It's absolutely necessary for survival. It's how we strive and compete and reach our goals in many ways, you know, just burning hot. But if that's all you have, if you're just constantly having that big red button pushed, and you're constantly going to the fight or flight response and the fear mode, you will burn out. I guarantee it. Nobody is strong enough to maintain it forever. And we're seeing that, you know, and that's gray mind. That's sort of burnout, breakdown, languishing, despondency. And our first responders, our health practitioners, journalists, teachers, just, you know, are burning out and quitting. I don't know really anybody who hasn't felt some of that these past few years. And prior to the pandemic, we were already at peak red mind and gray mind, according to the American Psychological Association, who does a Happiness in America survey every year for the past more than a decade. So we were already teed up. We were already on edge. We were already anxious for a whole bunch of other things. Then you add this pandemic and all of the spin-off crises. You know, people have lost families, lost family members, lost their jobs, lost their homes, lost their dreams, lost their plans. And you know, you see it in young people as well. Their gray minds are everywhere. And so back to blue mind, one of the tools in our toolkit as water-based beings on a water-based planet is to go to the water. Sounds almost ridiculous to say it that way, but it is the great reset button for you personally. Your phone doesn't like the water. You can't drag your iMac to the water. Can't bring all your stuff with you. You really shouldn't even wear clothes. You should just go pretty stripped down and get to the water and spend time there, get in it, enjoy it, become competent to enjoy it in all the ways you want to. And that will be one of your best health and wellness go-tos for life, all the way till your last day. It can be
you're inspiring
taking care of yourself. So again, this is not a new idea. I've backed it up with modern science, but this is an idea that you will find in every single spiritual tradition, every single sacred text, every culture on the planet throughout history. It's in the writing. What we're saying is, hey, we kind of forgot, like we do, some simple, useful ancient truths. But hey, let's dust it off and look at the research And lo and behold, yeah, it's good for veterans to go surfing and do surf therapy. It really helps them. It's good for people with anxiety disorders to visit a float spa. And it helps with body dysmorphia. And there's just a long, very practical list of reasons why we should all practice Blue Mind in some way every day, wherever we are.
I got to go to a headline, and we'll be right back with Dr. Wallace J. Nichols. Jane Nichols after the headlines on TNT.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. 2.5 million people have been evacuated in Florida, where Hurricane Ian is now expected to make landfall earlier than previously forecast. Gas continues to pour into the Baltic Sea from three giant holes in the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines, which connect Russia and Europe, after they were damaged in an apparent act of sabotage. And a groundbreaking new study has shown that mothers are transferring the spike protein in mRNA COVID vaccines to their babies through breastfeeding.
Did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device? Or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
I'm Joseph Arthur here talking with Dr. Wallace J. Nichols about the Blue Mind and water. It's incredibly simple, really, and it's something we all sort of innately know when he talks about it, but it's something easy to forget. And I really like the part you said about the hidden message in water. The value that you bring to the water is the amount of reward you're going to get from it. You'll make it something sacred if you approach it with a sacred energy. And you even include your own shower. So for people that don't have access to some fancy water park, or, you know, most people probably do have access to some sort of body of water somewhere. Explain that. Explain the fact that it really doesn't matter what mode of water you choose. It's more the sort of spirit you approach it with.
That's right. I think wherever you are, you can practice Blue Mind every day. And, you know, if you just do a simple exercise and kind of make a list of the water that's available in your home, the water that you could walk to, the water that you might take a day trip or a weekend trip to, the water that you could walk to around in your city, fountains, public fountains or urban waterfronts, and then an inventory of the virtual water, the music about water, the art, the poetry, the prose, photography and film. And then, you know, lastly, your imaginary water. So, you know, a lot of people who are really into meditating will conjure up water as part of their guided meditations, you know, for good reason. It's pretty powerful to reflect on the water you've spent time with. So wherever you are, you know, if the world is frozen and all the water is icy, go out and enjoy the ice. That's water. Maybe remember that from third grade. So it's solid, liquid, and vapor. And then those five forms that I mentioned, which are the wild water, the domestic water, the urban water, the virtual water, and then the imaginary water. So going down that list for doing your own personal inventory, you'll quickly realize, wow, there's lots of ways I can do this. Without really going too far. And then the key is to do it. And I would add, if you take somebody with you who needs it, because we all know somebody who is struggling right now and needs to get off the couch and out of the house and just lift their head a bit. And if you can take them and go jump in some water together, or do a cold plunge together, or go to the water park with some kids together, man, that could just help them, you know, break out of a funk, and then just make it a regular thing. But I think a key piece here is, you know, history shows when we undervalue each other and when we undervalue anything, bad stuff happens. And we've undervalued our water because we haven't taught this in our schools. And we haven't taught this piece as part of the water cycle that all third graders learn. And I'm optimistic that if we do that, we will give a strong nudge to self-care and wellness, and we'll give a strong nudge to the value equation around water in lakes and rivers and oceans, and in a very positive way, in kind of a regenerative feedback loop, you might say. for ourselves, but also for the water itself. And that's at least the
water is
the working hypothesis.
It's connective. It's connective tissue, the way you describe it, the way it reacts to people in human connection. It acts as like a connective tissue. It's the way you describe water, the way you talk about water, just it's hard not to think about it being a manifestation of God in a really sort of just in a really immediate way. An immediate sense. And when I think of my own connection to God, when I first sort of became aware of God as an adult, it was at an ocean. And so it's interesting. It's really making me think of like just looking at water as something sacred, I think can improve your life dramatically.
Yeah. And if everything you just said, if you pulled the word water out and you added the word music, it would make perfect sense as well. So there's that water music connection, the sacred, like music delivers you to the sacred. It pushes you further. It pulls you out, lifts you up, takes you down, throws you around, does all those things, just like water. But I brought a poem, not my poem, it's by Philip Larkin, and I brought it for
Love you. Philip Larkin. Love him.
Do you know this? You know his poem, Water?
Okay, not off the top of my head, but I'm a fan for real.
If I were called to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail affording to dry different clothes. My liturgy would employ images of sousing, a furious devout drench. And I should raise in the east a glass of water, where any angled light would congregate endlessly. It's a Philip Larkin's poem called Water. So there it is. It is no surprise that water is at the core and the heart of every spiritual tradition, every sacred text, every culture. Not only is it the basis of life, but it is really so much more than that. It's really the sacred on this planet. As you said.
Well, when you're baptized, same thing.
Same thing. Exactly.
Now, you also brought up, and that poem is wonderful, and thank you for reading it. You did an excellent job with that. And yeah, it does narrate what we've been talking about really well. You brought up cold plunge as well. And so there's been a big uptick in people getting into Wim Hof, I think thanks to Wim Hof largely. This like extreme relationship with water too. And it interests me a great deal. Like I said, I went through a month of doing cold plunges every day, and I'm definitely going to re-engage in that practice. And you're going a long way to inspire me to get on it. I actually did a cold shower right before this interview, inspired by researching you. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do a cold shower before this. And it was nice, dude. I got to say, as cold as an Arizona shower can get, which isn't that cold, right, to be honest. But So what's your take on that? And how do you think that's drawing people closer to the realization of the spiritual nature of water?
Yeah, I've seen the phenomenon grow so quickly. And along with that, the open water swimming craze, and really in the UK, mostly in the UK, but it's catching on. People going for a swim kind of the same way you would go for a hike, and just kind of gathering up on a beach somewhere and by a lake or an ocean and plunging in and just going for a swim around. All year round as well. So there's the cold aspect of that as well. So I think it's a sign that our lives have become so incredibly convenient and controlled and regulated. And you move from you can dial in exactly the temperature you want in your car and exactly the temperature you want in your house and in your office. And, almost barely feel what the ambient temperature is over the course of, let's just say, a year. And that is just kind of bizarre. And I think people are really craving extremes or, a break from that and jumping in the cold water, swimming in it, taking a little lap across the lake in the winter time, is one way to really just to feel alive. Now, of course, there are health benefits, not just to the exercise, but into really pushing your body in that way. But I'd say the cold water plunge phenomenon is one tool in your Blue Mind toolkit. It's a good one. I highly recommend the float spas as well, with a sensory deprivation experience. That water's warmer. It's the same temperature as your body. Very different than plunging into an ice bath for 5 minutes. You float for 90 in hypersaline water that matches the temperature of your body in the air. You kind of lose track of time, and you lose track of your body, and you start to feel like you're just floating in a void, which is an interesting place to go for most people. Yeah.
Sounds also like a scary place to go. You write, I create because I'm called to, because I couldn't imagine doing anything else, because it fulfills me in a way nothing else ever could. Words are the medium I work in, spoken, written, strung together in print, on air, and online. Words and the pauses between them. That's beautiful, man. We're going to talk to Jay Nichols more about water right after these words on TNT.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
I love when conservatives come to the rescue of other conservatives. Tooting their own horn, Fox News says Facebook has reversed a permanent ban on conservative children's book publisher Brave Books after Fox Business started asking questions about the ban. Brave Books publishes books for 4 to 12-year-olds. They told Fox that Facebook suspended them and denied an appeal. The publisher says they put out books that have pro-God, pro-America, and anti-woke values. Brave Books founder Trent Talbot called the suspension an existential threat to the company since they rely on Facebook advertising. The publisher produced a Facebook message which provided no explanation for the ban and stated that it was their final decision. Talbot called the incident a prime example of big tech today, adding they shut down small companies who say anything contrary to their woke agendas. And according to Talbot, a suspension from Google earlier this year was also reversed after Fox News reported on it. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The world is transitioning to so-called renewable energy, which is a form of economic suicide. More than 60% of the world's electricity generation comes from fossil fuels. Only 6% comes from wind power, and 3% from solar. But more importantly, fossil fuels currently make up more than 80% of total world primary energy consumption. Oil remains the single largest source of global energy, which is mostly used in transport. Therefore, the energy generated from wind turbines makes up just 1% of total world primary energy consumption, and solar power, half of 1%. Renewables will not achieve net zero carbon, but the economic destruction under this agenda is severe and will get much worse unless this madness ends.
Big pharma corruption, medical corruption, government corruption, political corruption, climate change corruption. The threats to your happiness are many, but that's where we can help. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio. Our truth shall keep you free.
And we're back with Dr. Wallace J. Nichols. J. Nichols, who is kind of like a Pied Piper of the depth of water to humanity. I'm wondering too, Jay, if you're sort of calling out to water, your investigation of water in this way, your sort of awareness of the sacredness of it, if you've gotten a response from water itself, and how your own relationship has deepened with it, and what you've discovered in the real depths of it.
I'd say the depth of this whole conversation happened 2 years ago. After we had a mega fire, used to call them wildfires. And in our area, it burned about 93,000 acres. And that summer, we lost 3 million acres in California. But that lost our home and all my stuff, my guitars and kids, that letter from my daughter from when she was a kid, and I just can't, all the stuff. And all I could think after that was, in response to the fire and the ash that was everywhere, was get me to the water. And I just, when I went back to see if the house had made it, finding that it hadn't, just stripped and got in Mill Creek, a little deep spot adjacent to where the house was, and cried in the water for a while. I don't really know how long. But that the juxtaposition of the recent fire, which was still warm, and the water, and the need, my just visceral need to submerge myself, made it really clear. And after the fire, people were like, okay, Blue Mind guy, let's see if this really works. And I can say that it almost didn't. That was rough. Definitely a low point emotionally. But just being able to reset after a day of going through, an ash pile, literally, and shuffling around the property. You got soot up your nose and in your eyes in the middle of a pandemic, by the way. Just being able to dive in the water and just feel clean and refreshed and baptized at the end of the day or in the middle of the day. Which made it really clear to me, like, if there are people who don't know about this, my job is to make sure they know about it. And so making Blue Mind common knowledge and common practice is really my mission. And that made it especially clear. And by common knowledge, I mean 8 billion people should know about what we're talking about and know how to do it where they live. And but fire and water, man, they're interestingly connected, fascinating.
It's interesting that you tell that story. I wonder, when you said it almost didn't, was the almost didn't meaning that you might have lost your faith?
Yeah, I beyond burnout, there's this place that you don't really want to meet, and it's just heavy, when if there was uncertainty and stress and burnout, that wildfire just came on top of all that was going on and all the uncertainty. And it's hard to think back exactly and remember how confusing everything was. You touched on it a bit tonight, but people were lost and scared.
They still are, brother.
They still are. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. This is not over.
No. Yeah. It's not. But people are lost and scared. And then you throw a big extra, and it's dealing with what our friends in Florida are about to deal with is hard enough on a good day.
Right.
But when you throw it in, when you're questioning everything already and uncertain, it's a lot. And so I lean heavily on my faith in water. It helped me a lot, for sure.
Have you considered as well that listening to that story, when you say you cried a lot too, it made me think, like, when humans are at their most extreme emotional response, what do they produce? They produce water, which is tears. Yeah. That's another interesting aspect.
Yeah. I've talked to people about this a bit, and crying in the shower turns out to be something a lot of people do or have done. sort of just been able, for whatever reasons, maybe there's a social component, they would rather not cry in the living room, so they, you know, do it in the shower. But there's definitely a release, an emotional release that happens when we get in the water, and especially if the water's thumping on the backs of our necks, hot or cold. Highly recommend grieving in or near the water, remembering and memorializing those that we've lost, ideas that are lost. The water can take it. So, you know, bring your grief and your pain to it. It's a good place to do that, for sure.
So what's the future holding for you? What are your future plans? Are you writing more books on this? How are you bringing the message of Blue Mind to the world from this point on?
Well, you know, talking to people like you, you know, you've asked questions I haven't thought of, and having these conversations that ripple out, translations, I guess you could call it. I was just speaking at a wildfire leadership summit. I've spoken at hospice conferences and prison management conferences, and veterans conferences, first responder meetings, and translating this idea for the audience that's listening, for the people that need it, for different ages, languages, and crowdfunding it. This is not a fundraising pitch, but I've actively stepped aside from grants, sponsors, big donors, celebrity galas, and just keeping it lean and efficient and intellectually free, and did not trademark Blue Mind, and sort of actively avoid that. But the idea is complete dissemination of the concept. So anybody's listening and wants to help, please, let's run. Yeah.
Where do they find you?
I'm easy to find. You just look up Blue Mind. It probably the best thing to do is actually look up Blue Mind in quotes, and then the word that you want to add to it. So that might be floating or surfing or cold water or hospice or kids, and you'll find work that's been done, journalism that's been done, films that have been made, and then run with that. So find an organization that's putting Blue Mind into practice and support them is a really good way to do it. Make sure your local library has a copy of the book. I can send those if you just send me an address. And all the creativity in the world. You should write a Blue Mind song. I guess that would be easy, right? Good one to do.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, actually. I'm also thinking about getting like a little water vessel in my studio, you know, one of those little things that you see at sort of Asian restaurants sometimes, a little like,
fountain.
Table stream. What is it?
Yeah, a little fountain, desk fountain.
Fountain. That's what I'm looking for. That's the word. Fountain. And also, you were going to take this to the prison system, too. Is that right?
Yeah. That what I learned in that work is there are prisons and other prison-like environments where these ideas are needed, and that people who are incarcerated, people who work in prisons and prison-like environments, and the families of the people who are incarcerated and work in those places are carrying agonizing anxiety, that whole group of people, for different reasons, that doesn't serve us that well. And so if there are ways to bring this conversation to those places and the people impacted and employed, then that's good. So that was that conversation. And it's can be as simple as aquatic murals inside prisons.
All right. Well, we got 30 seconds left, so I got to say my goodbyes. Listen, I really thank you for the inspiration to remember the sacredness of water. It's something I've known and discovered throughout my life, but to get reminded of it is important. It's so thank you for coming on, Dr. Wallace J. Nichols, and keep fighting, my friend. We'll be right back with more on TNT. No problem, brother.